Okay, so let's see something from the Matnas Chaim, Ber Matnas Yo Salomon, that is a very interesting yisai that we'll take away tonight. Isa b'sefer chasidim. It's on page Kuf Lamed Beis, in the middle of the Amud. Sefer chasidim writes, Maisa be'echad shayadal v'chaser v'heiroitz l'kabal tzedakah. There was a certain person who was very, very poor, and he was very proud. And because he was proud, he didn't want to take charity. Very understandable. Amar hech akabel harini geizos haniyim. How should I take charity? I'm going to steal from other aniyim that are maybe more deserving than I am. So what did he do? Elahalach v'lava mibnei adam. He went and he borrowed money from people. V'nasnu loy. And they gave it to him. Amanas lahar viach l'mechza. Viach se lahem l'zman pleni. They made some sort of deal with him that he was going to have to, you know, include them in whatever business he was going to get into, and he was going to give back the money plus after a certain amount of time. He was borrowing from many, many people, and he never was able to pay them back. I can't pay back, I have no money. And then he went further and he said to lend me money. Amle leiva rush of lo yishalim. A leiva is a rush. He's not going to pay. Why should we give you more money? V'aymer mutav she'a leiva imyeli efra v'leya kabel menat staka v'leya gaiz l'anim. And he said again that, well, I'm doing this for good intentions because I don't want to take from charity. I don't want to take from charity. It's better to borrow money from other people. You're not repaying. You're stealing from other people. Is that better than being proud and not taking tzedakah? Nemra alav al titzadik harbe. Don't be so frum. Sometimes it's not such a great idea to be that frum, because look what you're doing. Va'aychu rasha lama leiva v'hu yadeya she'ein lehatzlocha v'liyev ma'apalapare. Why are you borrowing money and you know you have no ability? You're not. You don't have any like clear plan how you're going to pay back that money. You're doing a terrible chil Hashem because you're not paying people back. You're losing people's faith in lending money to others. And then what's going to happen is no one's going to lend money to anybody. Everything's going to freeze up because I got burnt once. I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to lend money to another guy that's coming to me and promising me that he's going to pay me back. So this is a classic example, says the Sefer Chasidus, Sefer Chasidim, that sometimes it's okay to take money from tzedakah. I think one of the Bali Musar said that no one ever died of starvation. They died of gaiva. What does that mean? You don't have to starve. There are places that you can go to ask for charity. If a person, Lo'aleinu, shouldn't need it, but if you need it, so that's what tzedakah is for. Elamai, you're too proud to take tzedakah, so because of that, you're starving. But you're not starving because no one's feeding you. You're starving because you're too proud to accept charity. Charity, obviously, it's not geschmack to take tzedakah, and none of us should ever have to, but that's what it's there for, and it's much better an option to take tzedakah and bite the bullet, if need be, than to go and borrow from one person and for another person, and it just, you have no way of paying back. You know you have no way of paying back, so why are you borrowing? You're not allowed to borrow without any intention to pay back. So that's what Sefer Chasidim says, that it's a terrible thing. It's a chul shem shamayim. You're stopping all people from ever having the ability to borrow, legitimate people that maybe could pay back. You're stopping it, and that is a terrible thing. Cesar Matisio, Ben Taira Hayachal Lakabal Tmicha Me'ashir Luzakaisam Bechelik Milimudai. A Ben Taira, somebody that's learning in Kailo, somebody that's that needs money, and there are wealthy people that are willing to support him. You can have a Yisachar Zvolen deal, you can have Jastama, and for supporting you. They'll be taking a very handsome chelik of your learning. You know, as a Ramesha has a famous tshuva about this, and others, whether or not you have to dafka give 50% of all of your income to get 50% of his, or it could be, prorated. Another discussion is about whether or not the zvolun, the sachar rather, actually loses from his chelik in Tyra, his schar from Tyra, or maybe doesn't work like that. Maybe he's just, zvolun, the businessman, gets chelik in Tyra, whatever chelik of Yisachar is, but Yisachar doesn't actually lose from his own chelik. There's a shita of Chaim Volozhiner who says that when you support somebody in learning, you become in Shamayim. When you die, you become a Talmud Chacham in Shamayim. You know whatever that guy was learning that you were supporting, right? In this world, you might not be able to be conversant in Shas and Paiskim, but if you're supporting somebody that's learning, it's a great investment because you're able to actually be conversant. You're able to talk and learning with people. You don't just sit there like a gaylam upstairs. You're able to talk and learning with people that are very big talmid chachamim lenetzach nitzachim because you supported Torah in this life. So people are very happy to give you money to learn, but you don't want to take from them. I don't want to take charity. So what do you do, says Ramatisyo? You start borrowing. You start running up credit card bills. Do you have a way of repaying the people you're borrowing from? Do you have a way of repaying the credit card bills? No. So what are you doing it for? You're stealing. It's better to steal from somebody than to take tzedakah or to take support from somebody. And instead of taking from tzedakah, he starts creating, fabricating false logic, false arguments, shein and das Torah. That's completely not what the Torah has in mind for you. Same thing as Sefer Hasidim says, you're going to freeze up the whole market of people willing to lend money. No one's going to ever lend money again. Yaiser Taivi says, Lita ulis bayesh mili kanes beklal elo shetfilosam akura sheshbiad mam chaverim. It's much better to take the money and be a little embarrassed. That's okay. Better than to be part of those select few on that very bad list of people that their tefillah is murky because they have other people's money in their hands. So the tefillahs are not niskabel. And that's something that he was speaking about before. But this is something that is very, very important to know. Hopefully it's not going to be nagei halach l'maisa to us, but I'll tell you a maisa which happened to me when I was in Chaim Berlin and I was dating, and I was like, I never had like a comfort level to take money, when I get married as a kailah guy to take money from the yeshiva. I just didn't feel like I wanted to take mom and hektish, and it bothered me a lot. And I was once speaking to Rav Aaron Schechter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in his house, and he had an office like in his basement, and we spent a long time together one night there. And one of the things I brought up to him was this discomfort of when I get married, to learn and to take support for learning. I just felt it was like not. I'd rather not. I don't know if I'd rather borrow from people, but I'd rather maybe work or do something productive that I can make earn real money than to take a check from yeshiva.
Why did it make you feel uncomfortable?
What?
Why did it make you feel uncomfortable?
I don't know. That was just my hergish. I just didn't feel like that to take money to mom and tzedakah, mom and hektish. I just didn't feel.
You're that. Free. You'd be like you do like
Mila. No, I don't think it was that. Advanced the cheshbon. It was just like something that I was uncomfortable taking money from yeshiva. To learn. I don't even understand it today what my big dino was, but that's what I brought up to him. And he said something very interesting. He said that you're right. He told me I'm right to have that hergish, that it should be uncomfortable for somebody to take money from tzedakah to learn. He says, but that's part of the chilek of the schar that an avrich, that a kohel guy gets for limud haTorah. It's not supposed to be like, okay, I'm living high on, you know, on yeshiva and I'm taking money from tzedakah and I'm cool with that. It's very uncomfortable. It should be, it's like you're you know, just like it's hard for you to take a handout on the street from people, it's also, it should be difficult to take a check from yeshiva, from tzedakah. Part of the chilek of the schar that an avrich gets, you get a lot of schar in shemaim. You get learning Torah, tarasam, nasa, you're steiging, and you're having a family, al Torah, al avayda, everything is, you know, kedasa kedin, you're starting off your marriage the first X number of years, b'kedusha, v'tara, learning and seeping that, having that kedusha seep into your house, a beautiful thing. But part of the cost of doing that is the discomfort that you have, that you should be having, taking money from yeshiva. And that's, it's difficult. It should be difficult for you. You shouldn't feel comfortable, but that's part of your mesiras nefesh for Torah. It's a lot of mesiras nefesh for Torah. If you're a, you know, I don't think kohel guys get enough credit. Like everybody, the balabatim are always putting them down. It's a very difficult thing to, you know, to mamish live bedachkos, to not have, you know, you don't know exactly how you're going to pay your bills because the kohel is not really paying enough anyway to make things, you know, you're not living in the black by a kohel check. You know, I think Lakewood up until recently was paying about $300 a month. Okay, I don't think I could wake up in the morning, I already have $300 in chayvus. Based just the car leases and the mortgage and the you know, and all the other expenses, tuition, you know, to wake up you have to have $300. So $300 is not a lot of money for a month. As of late, maybe the last few years, a group of balabatim got together. They said it's not shayach for a kohel guy to be living on $300, so they upped it to $1,000, which is it's a nice hefty. It's still nothing, but it's a lot more nothing than $300 nothing. So it's not an easy life. $1,000 a month, you know, it's $12,000 a year. That's really, you know, that's your kid's tuition in a cheap yeshiva, right? For one kid. One second. He said that, so that's a lot of Mesiras Nefesh. Part of the Mesiras Nefesh, if you want one more Mesiras Nefesh, it's that you have to take the check from yeshiva. You have to take mum and hektish, and you have to deposit that in your bank and use money that should be going to yeshiva, and you're taking it and you're using it for yourself. And he said to me, this is how he ended off. He said, and if I knew that Kaimelin has a fairly large kohel. It's not Lakewood kohel, but it's, you know, it's a decent-sized kohel. I don't know how many guys, maybe 70, 100 guys, I don't know how many. He says, if I would find out that there was a guy in kohel that has no problem taking a check from yeshiva, I would throw him out of the kohel. That's what he said to me. You know, I remember it to this day. I don't think I ever said that story to anybody, let alone Barabbas, but this is, it just came to me. That was what Rav Aaron said, and that's sort of what Rav Matasyahu was saying, that it's true, it is uncomfortable for a kohel guy to take mum and hektish, and it should be uncomfortable, but still, it's better to do that. It's better to have that discomfort and to take the money than to say, I'm not going to take the money. And so what are you going to do? I'll borrow from people. You're going to go to this guy and that guy, this kavir, and you're going to owe money all across town. You have no way of repaying it. What, you think next month it's going to, all of a sudden there's going to, you know, b'derech hatev, you're all of a sudden going to hit the jackpot? Like, how do you expect to pay? No, next month I'm going to have to borrow from more people. And then more people. And then you just have a mountain of debt. And it could be a credit card. It's the same idea. Credit cards are more lethal because they charge ribbis on top of it. At least with Yidden, you don't have to pay ribbis. You just have a guilty conscience. But, you know, so this is something that that Rav Matasyahu was drilling into to the Ilam, that this is the attitude, that it's better to take money from tzedakah than to borrow money without any cheshbon. It's gezel. You borrow money from somebody, you have no idea how you're going to be. You just say, yeah, I'll pay it back. Baloney. It's gezel. Yeah.
Isn't it bidyavad to, like, you're saying there's an idea that it's mesiras nefesh to like, go through that discomfort of accepting tzedakah. But if someone values Torah enough and values the life that they're leading enough, shouldn't they not feel that discomfort? And should they, like, know it's, like, it's obvious what I'm doing is the right move because Torah is that valuable?
That's sort of what he's saying. Torah is that valuable.
Yeah, but it shouldn't even feel uncomfortable. It's like b'nei avad that feels uncomfortable. Like, yeah, it wouldn't feel uncomfortable.
You're not uncomfortable because you don't feel like that Torah is worth taking the money from tzedakah. But at the end of the day, people have given their meiser money to give to yeshiva, and yeshiva is giving that money that's hektish, that's tzedakah, to a person for him to pay his, you know, to go shopping in the supermarket. That's fine. You're right. It's kedai to be simach on, you know, for Torah to do this. But it's a two-step process. It's not just my area. If Aaron like was agreeing, maybe he was just agreeing with me because he wanted me to, you know, to make me, you know, feel better about my discomfort. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think he honestly felt that it has to be a two-step process. It has to be that I feel bad, but I'm going to take it anyway. I don't feel comfortable. Not that Tyra, of course Tyra is worth it, but I don't know if I'm worth it. I don't know if it's if I'm the perfect shliach or I just feel uncomfortable taking money from Hektish. It's just a hard pill to swallow. But that's what he said. That's what it should be. That's exactly the way it's designed to be. If a person just has no problem, just take the check and deposit it, there's something amiss about that cheshbon.
Could there be a person who's on high enough level that they, like you said, you should like not know if you're high enough level to, like, you know, you should know if you're not, like, you should feel uncomfortable, like, maybe I don't deserve it, right? Because I'm not, like, high enough level, whatever. Could there potentially be a person that is high enough level and they know their worth and...
I'm not saying that, no, I don't think that it really matters. I'm not even talking about level-wise or Kedusha-wise or where you're holding, what you're not doing, where you're not holding. Even people that are major Talmid Chachamim and that have major, you know, Yigiya and Amelus and Hasmada, and I know these people, and it's not comfortable for them to think. They don't want to be on the receiving end of a check from Hektish. It's just not comfortable. It's not a matter of, it's not a guilty, I feel like, you know, because I do this and, you know, at night, so if I shouldn't be, it's not that. It's just a general, it's not a normal process to take money from tzedakah. It's just not. Not just like it's uncomfortable to take money for an ani to take money from the pushka, it's also uncomfortable for an avrit to take money from Hektish. That's the way it should be, and that you get schar for. But it has to be that two-step route. That's what he said. All right, let's go back there. Yeah.
It'll probably cross any, like, normal person's mind that all the money he's using is from tzedakah, and they'll feel weird about it.
Yeah.
Any normal person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For sure.
I feel weird. It's mom and Hektish, and I just don't feel comfortable. It's not like I didn't, you know, yes, you earned it through your amelus, you know, it's not like you're doing nothing and you're getting just a handout, but it's still, there's something, there's a difference between doing that and working as an accountant and getting a regular paycheck. It's not mum and Hektish. This is mum and that Hektish. People are giving money and you're taking it. It's okay. It's fine, but you should feel that it's not so okay. I'm not really perfectly well with it. And that's okay. You feel that? That's good that you feel that way, and now you can take it. Agav, Roy Litzateit Bazes, as Matisseo, it's Kedai to quote as Divrei Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha is in the Mishnah Berurah. It's written by the Chavetz Chaim. Bir Halacha is like the lumdus behind the Mishnah Berurah, right? You have the Mishnah Berurah, and then he has, like, on the side a section of the page called the Bir Halacha, where he shows that it's not just a lika that he did. It's not just he didn't just cut and paste, you know, from different paiskim, rishayim, achrayim, but rather he got into the sugyas, and he had such a depth of understanding all the sugyas in Arachayim, and he brings that to the page of the Mishnah Berurah every time he has a bir halacha. So in the bir halacha it says, binyan zeh kasa v'tshuvas dvar Shmuel, he's quoting from a tshuva of the dvar Shmuel, she'ela. This is the question that was posed to the Dvar Shmuel. Eze derech yishar sheyavar le'adam im lasek batayro laharbes gevula b'talmidim klayim ha'shavua v'lehanes me'acherim Good question. Somebody asked the Dvar Shmuel, I have a choice. Here's my career. They're coming to you as a rav, as a pesach, as to be machriya the following question: is it better for me to work in yeshiva, learn Torah, have a lot of talmidim the whole week, and I'm going to be nana from others? People are going to give me tzedakah basically to do this, to tutor and to learn in kailol or whatever. I don't know if there was a kailol back then, but whatever it was, to learn, but make money through Torah by teaching others and learning Torah. That's A. And then, B is to get a regular job and to earn a salary based on your work, on your labor, a melacha nekiya. The whole week I'll be doing nice, you know, Chazal say you should find an umnes, kalo nekiya. A nice, easy, clean type of work. I once heard a tape, like a recording from a Barrel Wine. Barrel Wine is like a famous historian. He is a Rashiva, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Rav in Yerushalayim today. But he lived many years in Muncie, and he grew up in Chicago. And he went to Skokie, I believe, and then he was a lawyer. He went to law school, and he was a lawyer. He's a successful lawyer. But he said that he left law because it was not an umnes nekiya v'kala. It was not a, he discovered that it was just not, you know, he thought it would be, it's nice, it's a nice parnasa, right? You make a lot of money as a lawyer, and you get to work in a, you know, to, you know, schwitzen, you know, out working outside, you know, for Con Edge, drilling in the streets. You get a nice cushy office and a nice this and a, you know, and you're, it seems like a nice job from an outsider's perspective. But he was an actual lawyer for a long time. Anyone planning on being a lawyer before I go right there?
Possibly.
What?
Possibly, go right there.
Possibly. So he said, what?
Not after this story.
Oh. So he said,
I think he was a litigator or not. He was a litigator.
I don't think he was a lawyer. He was a corporate lawyer, I believe. And so he said that he said it wasn't umnes kavanah. First of all, the hours were treacherous. Like, you literally have to work 18-hour days in some of these firms, maybe more. And then it was hard work. I guess maybe there was some ethical issues, perhaps, that were plaguing him. And it just wasn't. It was just so he went into Rabbanus. He went into Rabbanus. He opened the yeshiva eventually in Muncie. And the rest is history, literally. But he's a big historian. So that's the choice. So not law, but some malacha in the kivaka. I don't know what an example of that is, but let's say
accounting.
I don't think it's either so gishmak. But I don't know, something that's sort of light, easy, clean, not very taxing on a person, and I don't know, whatever that may be. I don't know if there is such a thing.
But not doctor.
What?
Doctor's not.
I don't know. I'm not sure. And when are you going to learn? You learn Torah on Shabbos. The whole Shabbos, I'll make, you know, starim, and I'll learn a lot on Shabbos. Which would you say, as a regular person, one, A, I have to go and I have to, you know, take money from tzedakah. I have to, you know, beg, borrow, and steal to get paid and take from tzedakah. And the other, and B, is I'm a regular professional, and I'll learn Torah on Shabbos. Which is better? It's in the Bir Halacha. It's not a Hashkafa. This is Halacha. What?
A.
A? Okay, any other votes?
B. I think that's what you say also.
You'd say A?
No, I think it's what
you're
going to say. Probably,
yeah,
probably also, why not?
Okay. So let's see what he says. He says, Ve'ein kavanasei shelo yilmed klal. This is a continuation. And his kavana doesn't, the question was not that he's not going to learn at all during the week, this professional, this guy that has this malacha nekiya. He learns whatever. You have to learn something every day, as is brought in halacha. It means beyond like the mornings, you know, I don't know, the pre-morning daf or the nights or whatever it is that you're learning. What should I do? Sheilasa Hidafka. This is still the Be'er Halacha talking. V'gam Sheilasa Hidafka im ha'esek shalayhu naki mitaruvus gezo v'ribus v'ayna. And also you have to factor in that the question was what? Provided that the umnis that you have will not involve stealing and interest and ayna, overcharging. That's not a savik at all. Echad asakim ki'ilu shov ein nikra nanamigia kapo. That's not nanamigia kapo, migias achem. You're taking other people's igia. V'ayt mutvul ispayish pa'il mazeh ulekabel mea matanis lo lavar pam echad alav dairais shaloi sigzel. Right? So he doesn't seem, is he answering the question? He doesn't answer, right? But he's just bavarning. I'm curious if in the... I don't know if... Should we look it up? Should we get a Mishnah Berurah real quick? Alright, so I thought he was going to give the answer, but... That's my favorite yes, he says. He says via atik biktsara ikra chuvasa shayla. I'm gonna give you the short answer, the abridged answer of his tshuva. Halei rasa einai habedaylach mashukasa b'tur yeredeya. Reish ben vav beis yaseif hashem sev yam shoshlem and mikulam erech l'man nasle marikara b'siver kesev mishnah hilchas talmud torah achanir lani estaiti shafila rambam yaskin benidim nidan lahatir. Even the Rambam would be matir taking money from tzedakah dein don efshar shi'efshar v'kivin shikaviyatzer chashav amokim efshar lozeh ha'ish hachavitz b'chayim. If you can't, you can't. I mean, you have to take money, just like always. That's always the way it was. Dayanim chacham, where'd they get their money from? From the Trumas Alishka. In other words, hektish provided for clergy, for the dayanim, for the paiskim. How did they eat? They ate because hektish gave them money. Kidigar Sinan, how could you say that you paskin that a person, it's better for a person to not learn and to work the whole all his days? Just because you're getting hana from your brother, that should stop you from learning and from teaching. So he says, this is really in the Ber Heitiv. The Ber Heitiv brings this, but he only brings the question and not the answer. It's sort of like what we just went through. Like, we just got the question and you leave it. It's like a cliffhanger. It seems, I didn't see the Dvar Shmuel inside, but what it seems from the Ber Halacha's citation, it seems like he said that, don't worry, take the money from tzedakah. That's what dayanim, that's what rabbanim, that's what the paiskim did from time immemorial. That's what kaihanim got from hektish and dayanim and chacham and the paiskim. That's what you do. What are you going to do? You have no choice. It's better to you have potential to teach yidden, to teach klai yisrael, to paskin, and you're not going. You're going to be an accountant because you don't want to take money from hektish. No, it's hard to do, but you have to swallow the pill and do it. He says, "Pa'amim nechnasim lebalabayis asher lasav ksavim over bnei Torah." Sometimes a rich gevir, people come to him for bnei Torah to give money. V'ushayfech buz ala ma'asev. And what happens? He starts, really throwing like really vile things at the person collecting. Va'aymer gadlan and mikia kapov. He has all the chazal, and it's better to work, by the sweat of your brow. The sweat of your hands. Lama in bnei akayla eskimasma. Why are the kayla guys really doing sitting learning? They should be busy with business. and they're sitting batal, like mizulah, taking from other people, mooching from other, being parasites, all these wonderful expressions. Al zeh kasav haChavetz Chaim, she'im habalabayis hazeh lakach afil pamachas prutu mizulah sederach mizchara shalek edin, nimsa she'adram nimsa shuhu, if you are not totally ethical in your business dealings, that's even worse, because that you're taking from other people. The Avrich is allowed to take a check. What are you getting upset at him for? He's allowed, he's doing, is within his rights to take this. It's better to take this bread of embarrassment This is sort of like exactly the same thing that he said before. It's true, it's not easy to take a kilo check, but is it better to borrow and not repay it? Is it better to go into business where there's a chashash that you might have to take money, shalei kedin, stealing? That's not better. So it's, both things are difficult, but you have to weigh the two against each other. And this is what Rav Matisyahu is telling, I presume he's speaking to the Kayal in Lakewood, that it's difficult, but it's okay to do it. It's much better to do that than to do unethical things in order to make easy money or to borrow money and not have any intention of paying it back. You're an ani, you're a mispanishment at tzedakah, and you take handouts from people, you take tzedakah, that's not gezel. Your hands are clean from gezel gneva. You did everything that you, what were you supposed to do? That's fine. As opposed to Misham Mirames Habriya, so Levain Mishalim, you trick people, you're borrowing and you're not, but you're in Kailo, but you're learning, so that gives you the right to trick people and to borrow and not pay them. Yadav Maluchlechas Begezel, your hands are filthy with Gezel. Tfilasa Akura, Vain Makam Lakavis Shabamtakashbrokhazik Shamdavar, you're not going to get anything. You could daven all you want in front of Hashem. If your hands are not clean, it's not going to go up to Shamayim. Shekvar shasam tefilasa imer of chamas bekapo. The fact that you have one of the tefilas of Ne'ilah, you know, we want all of our tefilas to go up. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us, l'man nechtal me'oshek yodenus, that we should be removed from any unethical money that we have in our hands. We're sort of making a Kabbalah to get rid of, or to go, when we go vayter, we're going to be honest in business, because if you have anything that's dishonest in business, you're cheating people, you're borrowing money and you're not going to pay it back, you're stealing from people, that stops my tefillah. So I'm at Ne'ilah, you really want to make sure that you have every good chance of it going up to Shamayim. And so this is, I don't know how Nageya this is going to be for any of us. I don't know if anyone is planning on staying in Kailal or... But it doesn't have to be that. It's just it's about anything in life. There's always, you always have to run away from gezel. If you have a choice of, you know, doing something unethical, or even if you stand to make a lot of money by doing it, you have to run away from it. That's not a good idea. And even if the other idea, the other concept is not too palatable either, because if you have pride, you don't want to take the, you don't want to take tzedakah, you know, understood. But it's still much better. You have to weigh, the schar keneged the hefsed, and the hefsed of gezel is far greater than what would happen if you have to take and you take money from tzedakah. So that's fine. That's not, there's nothing technically wrong about that. It's not easy. It's not geschmack, but it's not wrong, as opposed to doing shtick in life and you think you're better than the kailo guy because you're working, but you're working by taking it from other people. That is a happy medium. There's also people that could work and do it honestly. That's, that if you have no intention of going into chinuch or going into or staying in kailo, or even if you're not sure, so you have to speak to your rabbi, to your rabbi, and figure it out. There's absolutely nothing wrong with working. It's a good thing to work. It's a wonderful thing to work. But when we work, we have to work with honesty, with integrity, and make sure that we're not cheating people. And that's that's an optimal l'chatchila approach also. But if you're considering staying in Kaila, going into Chinuch in Klei Kodesh, but you feel a little bit uncomfortable, it's better to get over that discomfort rather than doing shtick to get out of it by either borrowing and not paying or doing other types of shenanigans to cut corners where it involves an Isser Gezel and Aina and other sorts of things that are completely unacceptable.